Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all of God's people on earth. Alleluia. It is a joy to welcome you to Parkwood Presbyterian Church this evening on Christmas Eve as we gather to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, on that night when God took on flesh to live among us. If you are a visitor tonight, we are glad to see you, and we invite you back. We will be here worshiping tomorrow morning on Christmas Day at 10 a.m. And next Sunday morning, we will have a service of morning prayer at 10 a.m. on New Year's Day. The rest of the year, we worship on Sunday mornings at 9:30, and we would love to see you again. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, for to you is born on this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works proceed, give to your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and that free from the fear of our enemies, we may pass our time in trust and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
We light these candles as a sign of our waiting and hope for the coming of Christ.
Let us pray. Mighty God, the shepherds of old were full of your praises, saying that all they had heard and seen was mirrored by what they had been told. Move among us now with your Holy Spirit, that we too might hear and experience the wonder and joy of the living word as we seek to welcome the written word into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. In a moment, we will hear read from the Gospel of Luke, the story of the birth of Jesus. But before that, we have some children here that are going to help us see that story. I would invite the children who are participating in the nativity scene to come forward. And if there are other children here tonight who would like to participate, I would invite you forward as well. There's plenty of room, plenty of parts. We can always use some additional shepherds and some additional angels. Anybody else? You guys would make great angels. Why don't you come over this way? That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them.
"Don't be afraid. I give you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth laying in a manger."
Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other,
"Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has told us about."
They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Thank you.
I will be reading from Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn.
Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the kittens and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, and it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
We are.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had been told about them to about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Worship on Christmas Eve. Something about it just seems perfect, doesn't it? The sanctuary looks beautiful. There are poinsettias. There are beautiful Christmas banners. There are candles. Of course, we have candles. At the end of worship, when we sing Silent Night by candlelight, I think it is one of the most beautiful parts of any service that we have here throughout the year. The sanctuary is nearly full. It is often our most well-attended service. Everyone is dressed up. Everyone's on their best behavior. Everyone seems in such a friendly mood. It just feels nice. It seems so spiritual, I guess. And maybe that's why it's popular. There are just times when we crave something spiritual. After all the shopping is finished. After the tension and the arguments with family members at Christmas Eve dinner. After all of the busyness, we are ready for a few moments of peace and joy. We want to catch a glimpse of the God who has been obscured by all of the holiday craziness. We want to hear a clear word of hope from God, a word that may have been drowned out by the noise of all of the suffering and grief in the world. We want to be lifted up above the fray, above the messiness of our broken world. But I have to say, if you came this evening because you want a spiritual experience to help you escape for a while, then I suppose I might owe you an apology. Because as I read this passage from Luke tonight that we heard, I have to be honest. It doesn't sound all that spiritual to me. It certainly doesn't sound like much of an escape. As I read it, this Christmas story seems to be about the least spiritual scene there could be. For starters, listen to how the story begins. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. That doesn't sound at all spiritual. Sounds pretty normal. Pretty tedious. Maybe it's something that we can relate to. They had to pay taxes, like the sales taxes that we pay when we buy something, or the property taxes we pay each September and February. Maybe this registration is something along the lines of what we go through when we register a car. I don't know about you, but I don't think there's a whole lot that's spiritual about doing things that the government requires us to do. Later, the passage says, in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, the idea of a shepherd might seem spiritual to us, what with all the other scriptural references to sheep and shepherds. Probably our most popular psalm starts, "The Lord is my shepherd." And Jesus in the Gospel of John tells us that I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. But part of the power of all of Jesus' talk about shepherds was because they were such outcasts in first century Jewish society. You don't really expect to find God as a shepherd. If we get too sentimental and teary-eyed about sheep and shepherds, I'm sure there are some farmers who can set us straight. It was a difficult and a thankless vocation. There's probably a Dirty Jobs episode with Mike Rowe that would shatter any illusions that you might have about the sentimental spirituality of tending sheep. Shepherds struggled to make a living. Living in the fields? That sounds romantic. They worked outside, often in the cold. They might have to find a lost sheep or fight off a wolf. And it had to be pretty boring. They watched sheep all night. Now you might argue, well, doesn't it say, Pastor, that an angel appeared to those shepherds? Well, it does, but I don't think that's the kind of spiritual that most people have in mind when they want an escape. Luke tells us that when the angel appeared to the shepherds, they were terrified. Now, most people's understanding of spiritual today doesn't have room for terrified in it. Okay, then, well, what about Joseph and Mary? Pastor, you might say, surely becoming parents is a pretty spiritual event. It's true, watching the birth of your child can be a remarkable occasion, but there is a lot that movies on the Hallmark Channel leave out, a lot of messiness. And remember the scene in Bethlehem. Mary had to put him in a manger, an animal feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the inn. There were no midwives or doctors to help Mary. There were no nurses or techs to clean the baby after the birth. There was no cable TV. There was no menu to go over with the employee from the hospital dining service. There was no heat, no crib, probably not even a bed for Mary. This birth, the one that we celebrate each year in such a serene and beautiful service, is one of the most gritty, smelly, earthy, messy things in the Bible. So if you came here wanting to be carried away from the messiness of the world, so you could hear angels singing and so you could escape everything to worship the Almighty God on high, then I don't know what to tell you, because Christmas moves in the opposite direction. But that's the good news. That's the gospel. As one preacher has said, the mystery of the incarnation holds our greatest solace and comfort, namely that wherever we go in suffering, in hurt and sorrow and despair, God has gone there first. God goes with us, shows up, and is glad to be there with us and for us. This is why the angel could tell the shepherds not to be afraid. This is why the angel could tell the shepherds that he brought good news of great joy for all people. This is why the shepherds went to see what had taken place, why they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child. This is why the shepherds left their sheep to go to Bethlehem to see the baby. Because if God could become a vulnerable baby in a feeding trough, then it means that there is no place that is so dangerous. There's no place so risky or dark or busy or mundane or happy or safe that he cannot and will not go to find us. And this means that we no longer have to try to lift ourselves up out of this mess to get to God. It means that we don't have to try to pull ourselves up to God through our piety, through our good works, or our own attempts at social justice. It means that we don't have to create some perfect Christmas. It means that we don't have to have accomplished any especially warm and fuzzy feelings for Christ to come to us. Jesus Christ comes seeking you and me out wherever we are, in whatever condition we're found. God climbed down from his world, his heavenly place, into ours. At Christmas, we celebrate God's invasion into our world. And if God's holiness, God's majesty, and God's power are present in this most unspiritual event, then there's no other place that is too unspiritual for God to be there too. When we realize this, we can start to see how he breaks into our lives, our everyday lives. He breaks into our chaotic mornings of running around the house, yelling at the kids, trying to get their lunches packed and them dressed and out the door in time for school. He breaks into our daily commutes, driving the same way, passing the same slow cars, and hearing the same songs and news reports on the radio every day. He breaks into our days at work, whether they're chaotic and busy and exciting and full of accomplishment, or whether they're dull and mundane and boring and unfruitful. He breaks into our afternoons of struggling to help the kids get their homework done or to prepare dinner, and our evenings of cleaning the kitchen and flipping through the channels or running errands. In Jesus Christ, God breaks into all of these places that we thought we were coming here tonight to escape. And he breaks into them to shine light into their darkness, to redeem them. Christmas means, as a good friend of mine has said, that you do not have to become spiritual, because God has become human. He became human so that we might be united and raised with Christ. The message of Christmas is that God works in the midst of our lives. Not only our blessed and satisfying and secure lives, but also our boring and tedious and uneventful lives, and even our crazy, messed up, and broken lives. God works in the midst of our life, not in spite of it. So on this evening, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, not as a temporary escape, but as glorious good news that shines light into any and every dark corner where we might find ourselves. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Amen. Let us pray. We remember the millions in our world today who are hungry, who receive no hospitality, all with whom your Son has become one by being born in a manger. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ across the world. Especially we pray this evening for religious freedom for those in oppressive lands. Give us gratitude for the freedoms that we have, that this evening and tomorrow morning, that we are able to gather here in worship without fear of harm or persecution. We know that brothers and sisters in Christ across the world are not so fortunate. We know that many of them, if given the choice, would place that freedom atop their wish list, that it is to be treasured above Xboxes and iPads and flat-screen TVs. Especially we pray for the Coptic Christians in Egypt suffering under the new regime, and for Chaldean Christians in Iraq who've had to cancel Christmas masses because of rising violence and security concerns. We pray for North Koreans, Christians who are persecuted, and others there suffering from famine in that tragic land. We pray for Yusuf Nadarkhani, the Iranian pastor, and for Asia Noreen, a Pakistani Christian mother, both facing execution for their faith. Grant them your peace on this night. We pray for those in need. When we sit down to Christmas dinners and have leftovers that will last for a week, help us to do so with gratitude and with awareness that others are not so fortunate. We also pray for those who grieve at this time of year. Shine your light into their darkness, Lord, just as you shone your light into the manger in Bethlehem on that night 2 millennia ago. Eternal God, in Jesus Christ, your light shines in our darkness, giving joy and sorrow and comfort in loneliness. Fill us with the mystery of your word made flesh, and lead us to our home in the presence of the Savior until our hearts overflow with praise and joy. For he is the beginning and the end of all that exists, living forevermore. Amen. And now, as children of God, we are bold to pray the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On a course unknown, bearing gifts from afar, hoping, praying, following yonder star. Silhouette of a caravan painted against the sky, wise men searching for the Holy Child. One King held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh. One king held the purest gold, and one king held the hope of the world. A star hangs over Bethlehem, a journey ends in the night. Three kings trembling behold the glorious sight. Heaven's treasure, Emmanuel, drawing men to bow down. Tiny baby, born to wear a crown. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh. One king held the purest gold, and one king held the hope of the
As in their poverty, the Holy Family brought their simple offerings to the temple. O God, so we bring our offerings in thanksgiving for the salvation you have brought us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated. As we take the flame from the Christ candle and spread it throughout the sanctuary, just a gentle reminder that when you have your candle lit, to keep it straight up and down, the person next to you who's taking the light from you should tip theirs. Otherwise, you'll end up with melting wax all over you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being through him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
As we go out from this place, let us take the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior, out into every darkest corner of the world. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Alleluia. Amen.